Yes, sir, it's your boy, Big Vern. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. You heard?
Every Monday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. you can listen to our Modulism radio show. Airing electro meet acoustic music, championing the use of analog instruments. The use of electricity to sustain a sound produced with a musical intent. Each program lasts 1 hour and is especially dedicated to one composer.
Appreciate about WGXC? What shows really light you up? Which programmers do you connect to? Call us at 518-622-2598, extension 4, and leave us a message. Or email us at feedback@wgxc.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Lex of Albany, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hello and welcome, WGXC Acre 90.7 Radio for Open Ears. I'm Simone Stevens, and I am here for the Ripples Makes Waves Pledge Drive. Independent media, as you know, is being chiseled away at, a.k.a. attacked. So let's keep independent media alive and well, thriving. Not just surviving, right? Let's thrive here. So be a part of it. We don't need to sit and do nothing. We can be proactive and donate today at wgxc.org/donate. Woo! All right, so I am so excited because I am here today with one of my favorite people in the community.
Oh, stop.
Yes, indeed. Paul Ricciardi, director and owner of Ingram Center for the Arts, alongside his husband, Jeffrey Mousseau. And they are fantastic. Their programming is wonderful. I am very happy to report that I get to work alongside Paul at the Taconic Hills for the storytelling program.
Yes, you do.
Fall, which I look forward to so much. And I'm also taking part in the Real People, Real Stories event on June 20th as a storyteller.
So next Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
Get your tickets, ancramcenter.org.
Yes, yes. Or all get information. All
for information. Information.
ancramcenter.org.
Yes, for information.
For more information, go to ancramcenter.org. Yes, we love it there so much. So welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Simone.
Now, you have something very exciting coming up, and it is the 10th anniversary Basharoonie.
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So, well, I mean, first of all, the Ankrum Center is, it's our 10th year anniversary. We're kind of, you know, we're thrilled that we've gotten here, but also it's like that thing when time passes, it's like, how did we get here? So we're having a big party, which we've never done. We've had little parties, but we're having a big party on Saturday, August 2nd, and it's a big celebration. Wow. You know, our friends are going to be there. You're going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
We're going to have special entertainment guests, big names, new names. So it's going to be a really great party.
Some little bites and nibbles.
A little bites and nibbles. Oh, you want me to give you a little nibble who's going to be there?
Yeah.
David Kale, the great writer and performer and singer, songwriter, will be there. Matthew Dean Marsh, who is an Ankrum Center regular, will be there. So, and then other great people will be there too. So we're really excited about that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And I've been to events there, of course, but never, obviously, have I been able to go to the 10th anniversary bash, because this is a special, special
It really is. It really is. I mean, it feels like a celebration. It's, you know, it's been a fast 10 years, you know, as we know, there was a little thing that happened back in 2020 that
kind of
kibosh on things, and you know, that we're here is a big deal.
Yeah. Absolutely. Getting through that period when live theater was so challenged. And
You know, it's so interesting that it was hard, but we learned so much, and so much really great stuff came out of that year. We established our Playlab program. It's this residency program where we support artists in creating new work. And we did that back in 2020 as a way to support these artists who had been so generous to us, and we wanted them to thrive during this difficult time. Well, we've been doing it now for 5 years. And so David Kale is actually one of our resident artists this year. We've got another Playlab resident, Mary Murfitt, working on a new musical called Framed. But that grew out of a really difficult year. And then the other thing that grew out of 2020 was the Plein Air plays.
These are, you know, I have to say, the Plein Air plays are so thrilling. I'm not going to get into exactly what they are, because I'm going to let you do that. All I'll say is that I was fortunate to go the last time you guys did this, and it was one of the highlights of my summer. Yeah. So with that said, please.
I mean, they're great. So, you know, back, you know, remember when everything was outside, you know, like, you know, politicians were campaigning, everything was outside.
Yeah.
And so we created this event where we assigned locations in the town of Ankrum to a playmaker. So our first year, we had a ball field, a pond, and a garden. And then we assigned those locations to playwrights, and they created pieces inspired by those locations. And you go to the first location, you'd see the baseball play, then you'd get in your car. We had volunteers along the way dressed up in costume, flagging people. They go to the next play, see the play at the pond, get in your car, and you go to the third play and see the play at the garden. So we did that out of necessity, because things had to be outside. We weren't inside in 2021. But Jeff Mousseau and I were co-artistic directors of the Ankrum Center, and we both love, I mean, small intimate theater is what the Ankrum Center is about, creating community through theater. Doing this small site-specific theater really ended up being an embodiment of who we are, and so we've continued to do it.
But I think that's such a great, what's so beautiful that's true evolution.
Yeah.
Because you kind of take what is thrown at you, right? We can't stop the tides of time. We can't stop what happens, whether it's a pandemic, or we just can't stop these big cultural shifts. So, I mean, we can try to, but
we could try
everybody, as we are with this pledge drive, but you know, but to meet it where it's at and then to build something from it.
Yeah.
Is just such a way, and I feel like you continue to do that and will continue to do that. You started as that's your mission and sort of what you value.
It's been really exciting. And so we're doing it again this year. And we're really excited. We've got three great secret locations, so we don't let the audience know. It's like you go to see the show, and not until the day of. We let the audience, you'll get an email from us and saying, show up here. And then you show up and you get a map. It's really special.
And I also have to say, for anybody listening who's saying, wait, okay, three plays outside and I drive to each site, isn't that... It is the way you have planned it and the way you run it. It's so seamless and so effortless. And that's part of the experience and the fun, going from one play to the next.
And also, like, you know, so many of us who live up here and make a life up here, that's we're here. Part of it is because of what this world has to offer. It's, you know, the landscape becomes a character in these plays. And you know, it's such a beautiful place to live. I mean, it's such a blessing and a privilege. And so, like, this play, the Plein Air plays, is celebrating the environment and, you know, outdoors as much as, you know,
as the artists that are partaking in it. Yeah, it's a great symbiosis. Is that fair to say?
Definitely.
Oh, my gosh. I have to say, the last, and then I'll move. I'm obsessed, obviously, with the Plein Air plays. There was one play where an actor was giving a monologue in a little graveyard.
Yes.
And it turned out at the end that we, the audience, were gravestones.
Yes.
That he was addressing. It was a very powerful
We were the ghosts.
Moment.
You were a ghost.
We were the ghosts. We were
the spirit of the dead. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was
I just got chills.
Yeah.
Just remembering
me
that.
Too.
It was so
Salty
was
Brine,
so
the great cabaret performer, Salty Brine. We commissioned Salty. We assigned Salty a graveyard.
Wow.
And Salty sort of, you know, mixed graveyard and sort of this sort of Shakespearean gravedigger in a dress with, you know, scraggly drag. You know, it was really sweet.
And it was
sweet.
Drama, comedy, it was everything.
Yep.
It was life itself. Yeah.
It was really great. One of our local friends, Will, who's a great guitar player, was, you know, backed Salty up because Salty also sang.
I actually remember Ruth, who was a producer for you guys.
Yes, Ruth Moe is our director of production. We love Ruth.
Yeah, and she sent me a text saying, do you have a fiddler, a violinist? This is a fun
story.
You
put us
this?
In touch with Will Lawrence.
Well, me, but at the same, somebody else did it at the same time. You had two people recommending Will.
Yeah,
at the
he's
same
a great guy.
Yeah.
We love Will.
So tell me a little bit about PlayLab, too, because that is catering to local creators and artists as well, and giving them a beautiful space to develop an idea and then share that in various stages, right? You have
So the PlayLab, it's an artist residency program where we support a theater artist, so an individual, or it could be a group of artists collaborating together on moving their art forward. So, and we work with people in all sorts of stages. So for example, last year we supported a project called Centuries, and we invited these artists who we've worked with before, Kate Douglas, Matthew Dean Marsh, Raina Sucklove-Gonzalez. We've worked with them individually and as a group, and we just believe so much in them. We said, here's some time and space. Will you make something? And they did. They made this sort of a song cycle, a folk song cycle about this made-up town called Centuries, Ohio, and just sort of about, you know, the evolution of you know, construction and what that can do to the community. And so we supported it, and then they got it to a performance-ready place, and then they became a sort of, I guess you could call it, a main stage production. And then with the goal of, so then they can go on and have a life with it, and they actually just produced it at Joe's Pub this past spring.
Amazing.
Yeah. So we do things like that. So that ended up becoming like a very kind of far along process. We're working with a composer, lyricist, Mary Murfitt, who actually lives in Ankrum. She's local. And she has an idea for a play about a murder that actually took place in Ankrum in the 1940s.
Oh, wow.
And so she's been doing a lot of research about this. And so we're supporting her. She'll be presenting in October. And that is going to be very early. So in that process, her final showing, and we always have a final showing of the work. So we want the community to have access to these artists. That's the whole point of creating intimacy, not just between the performance and the audience, but the audience in dialogue with the creators.
Yeah.
So Mary will probably present two or three songs and then in between talk to the audience about her process, the idea, the seed for the project, and then you as an audience member get to ask questions.
I think that's so thrilling.
Yeah.
I love being able to be a part of the birth of something.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people enjoy being a part of the development of an actual piece because we get to see it in all its phases.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
we get to see. I think with Centuries, I remember seeing it, and I loved it. And I was also so impressed how it is talking about a small-town community, right? And we do live in a small-town community.
Yeah.
And I think even the struggles individuals played being in a small-town community, meaning do I go further out? Do I venture out into the world?
Yeah.
Do I stay close to home?
Yeah.
It was just some really beautiful themes throughout that.
Well, that's what theater does, right? I mean, like, you see yourself in something, and it's like, oh, that's me. There I am. Or it's like, I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
I always wondered about that.
Yeah. Or I didn't think that was me.
Yeah.
But I think it is.
Yeah.
Now I think it is.
Right. Right.
Discovery, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of discovery.
I mean, so many of our audience, I mean, we have a huge portion of our audience loves theater. But many of our audience members come and they're being introduced to a playwright or a performer for the first time. They're not coming because, you know, they're necessarily fans of a particular artist, mm-hmm. but they leave and become fans of, yeah. you know, Taylor Mack or David Kale or,
yeah.
or, you know, the late great Diana O. You know, it's so that, and that's what one of the things we love the most is being able to introduce, you know, connect people, mm-hmm. connect audiences with someone who may not be known to them previously.
Yeah, well, it's like it's building community, too, yeah. not just catering to the community, it's building community.
Yeah.
And I understand that revivals and having old plays put back up that are beloved and people love is a wonderful and natural thing to do in a theater. But I do have to say, I remember moving here and hearing about the Ankrum Center
yeah.
and being so excited because of your commitment
yeah.
to taking risks and creating, going on these journeys where you don't know what the artist is, where
yeah.
they're going to
yeah.
end
yeah.
up. It's
yeah.
a little
yeah.
bit of a risk. There's quite a
yeah.
bit of adventure involved.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like WGXC in that way.
Love it. Because everyone, independent media is not having a real easy
no,
time of it right now.
No, and we
and
love WGXC.
We love WGXC, and we love what it gives to us. The community keeps us all connected on a daily basis.
Yep.
I can't stress how much I think of it and how important I think it is.
Yep.
So the Ripples Make Waves Pledge Drive is starting. It has begun. It is official. And please, if you find it in your heart, be proactive. Donate today at wgxc.org/donate.
Yes.
Let's not just survive. Let's thrive, right?
Yeah. And it feels good. It feels good to support something you love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We, in our very early days, 10 years ago, Ellen Thurston, the great Ellen Thurston.
Oh, boy, is this Gossips of River?
Yeah, no, that's Carol. That's
okay.
That's Carol, but we love Gossips. Ellen Thurston, but they are dear friends.
Yeah.
Ellen had a show on WGXC, and she would have us on all the time. WGXC was so supportive,
yeah.
and when we would have artists up that summer for the first time, I think they interviewed all of them, Joseph Koeckler, Carol Lipnick. You know, it's so we love WGXC. This is back when you guys had the studio on 7th
and
Hudson.
Yeah, yep. right by the park,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
how is that? Do you feel like having WGXC be a part of your world sort of just gave you that extra little lift sometimes in push and building a theater and building a place in the community?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, you know, when you're starting out with nothing, you know, that's validation.
Mm-hmm.
That's validation. And not to mention, then you have the file.
Yeah.
So then you can, you know, so then to, and also for a guest artist, you know, to see that this little organization is making connections with these other organizations.
Yeah.
And getting the word out. I mean, you know, a guest artist wants to feel cared for and
yeah.
promoted. And so it was special. It is special.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really went a long way for mm-hmm. us to have, you know, WGXC believe in us. You know, one of the hosts think that we were worthy.
Well, hey,
of
still happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here we are.
Yep.
And for those of you just tuning in, I'm Simone Stevens, and I'm so excited to have Paul Ricciardi here, director of Ankrum Center for the Arts, talking about this exciting season coming up, 10th anniversary
yep.
celebration.
Yep.
I am lucky enough. I am so proud to say that I get to work with Paul at the Taconic Hill Storytelling Program every
and we're
fall.
Lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
I love it. And I get to be a part of Real People, Real Stories on June 28th.
Yep.
For all information about the exciting season coming
yep.
from Ankrum Center, please go to, you can find all information
yeah.
at ankrumcenter.org.
You got it. Yep.
Yep. Any information your heart desires.
Yep. Yep.
So let's talk about the beginning to just the building itself. Like
yep.
how did you discover this
yes.
building and what
yeah.
is happening to the building now?
Yes, 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 yes. So for those of you who might not be familiar with Southern Columbia County, the Ankrum Center is basically at the intersection of Route 82 and Route 7. So if you're leaving Hudson, you keep driving south on 82, you pass the Taconic, And, you know, you go a little further, and that's where we are. And our theater is in an old Grange Hall, which is a meeting house for farmers. And that is so inspiring for us because it was a community space, basically, a community center mm-hmm. for farmers. And that's what we think of ourselves as, creating community through and connection through theater. Mm-hmm. We think that, you know, theater has the chance of, you know, making people's lives happier and healthier. Mm-hmm. So we, Jeff and I, Jeff is Musso's, the co-director of the Ankrum Center, were living in Hudson. We're longtime Hudson residents. We were. Mm-hmm. We had gone to see a show at what was back then called the Ankrum Opera House. I mean, it's a Grange Hall, but in the early 1970s, these two guys moved up to Ankrum and bought the house, the Grange, this building, our building, at an auction, mm-hmm. and they glammed it up. They turned it into an opera house and installed, you know, chandeliers, and they started doing sort of light operas, you know, Gilbert and Sullivan and stuff like that. And then for a long time, it was operating as an opera house. And then, you know, as things do sometimes, it went belly up in 1978. And between 1978 and when we moved in 2015, it was a basketball court. It was a woodworking studio.
Oh, wow.
You can actually see some damage in our theater from the basketball days. Like some of the chandeliers are kind of crooked. It was a music hall. The last people who ran it, Joan Arnold and her partner, Jim Paul, they were using it as, I would say, it was something like a salon space. They would do readings and things like that. But the main thing it was a yoga studio. For years after we turned it into a theater, people would ask, like, you know, when's yoga coming back?
Like, I can see not, that. It's you walk into the space and you're instantly, I'm instantly at ease.
Yeah, it's a cool space.
So, yeah. That tracks.
Yeah. It's a very homey space. It's all, you know, it's tongue and groove. Sort of that wainscoting kind of mm-hmm. stuff. It's very woody and homey. We've painted everything barn red. And mm-hmm. so it definitely feels inviting mm-hmm. and it's a very intimate space. We have, you know, 75 seats. So it's, you're very much connected with your fellow audience members and the folks on stage.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And is there anything new in development?
Yes, threading the needle there, Simone.
Right?
So the Ankrum Center. So the Ankrum Center for the Arts is a nonprofit organization, just like WGXC. And as we grew, we needed more space. You know, we need space to house interns and guest artists, and building the house next door to our theater mm-hmm. Came on the market. And so our board of directors raised the money and we bought the building, which was so good. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process now. We've raised, you know, money to sort of develop this very old house. It's from the late 1700s.
Wow.
And it's being developed now into a 3-bedroom house that'll house, you know, resident artists or interns. And then there's also a community space. So a space where you can take a class or have a meeting, where we can also loan it out to other organizations. You know, like the great organization Create has approached us from time to time about doing, you know, sort of meetings for their fundies, you know, things like mm-hmm. that. So that we're hoping that project will end at the will be completed by the end of this year, early next year. So our season 2026, you know, come on by and get a tour.
Wow.
Yeah. If you drive by now, it's very much a construction zone, like, you know, orange traffic cones and lots of lumber and concrete and stuff. So
exciting.
Yeah. We're really excited.
I can't wait.
Yeah. And you guys have, I mean, this is beautiful. This WGXC space in Catskill is fabulous.
We're sitting right at the window here in Catskill. We're looking out. It is the first day officially of summer.
Yes.
Right?
Happy summer.
Is solstice?
Solstice was yesterday, the longest day of the year. That was last night.
Okay, that was last night. But today is officially,
it's a heat wave.
Yeah. It's official and it feels it. But yeah, I love the studio. I always love coming here and grabbing a coffee. You know, I just love this area. I mean, you and I both have lived in New York City and Brooklyn. I lived there for a long time.
Yeah.
And you still are part-time. Could you talk a little bit about the dance you do?
Yeah. I mean, Columbia County's home. So we live in Ankrum and make that our home. So we've been living here full time, boating up here for 20 years.
Wow.
But, you know, as many of us do, you know, I also keep a job in the city. I'm also on the theater faculty with the City University of New York. So mm-hmm. I'm also a full-time educator, yeah. which is very fulfilling. I love it. So I spend a lot of time on the Taconic State Parkway. Mm-hmm. In fact, so like this program that you're involved with, the Real People, Real Stories, it's a community storytelling program we've been doing since 2016. And we work with community members and who want to tell a personal true to life story. And I created this, I thought I created a technique. I call them mile markers.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah. And I got the idea because I spent so much time on the Taconic and, you know, someone will call me and say, how far are you from Ankrum? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'll look up. Like, I'm at mile marker 37.5. And so mile markers help you know where you are. And yeah. so, you know, we work with our storytellers creating these mile markers.
Yeah.
So, or plot points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you say? It's interesting because even though you teach acting, you teach voice,
yep.
you teach
yep.
storytelling.
Yep.
Storytelling isn't necessarily, do you think some people think storytelling is something that only actors or performers do?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's interesting. There's, for a while, people actually, when we would talk about our storytelling program, somehow the storytelling program was kind of this satellite thing that was adjacent but separate from the theater work we do.
Right.
You know, we produce these three plays a year and then we have storytelling. But, you know, I'm trained as an actor. My husband, Jeff, who's the co-director of the Ankrum Center, is a theater director. We're theater people. And mm-hmm. we see storytelling as, I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean, mm-hmm. theater is a person on a box telling a story. And that's how, you know, that's if we go back to the very beginnings
yeah.
of, you know, people standing around a fire, you know, acting things out. That's what we do. Yeah. And so the storytelling program is a way for us to introduce theater in a different modality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't talk about this a lot. I didn't know what I was doing when we started. We just kind of made it up. What I've realized over time is that what I'm using to coach storytellers, you know, like you, is the same things we do in theater when we're bringing a new play to life.
Mm-hmm.
It's new play dramaturgy.
Mm-hmm.
It's working with someone to shape a story so it has a clear structure, a path, and a way for the audience to sort of stay engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So really everything I learned as an actor working on new plays, I've brought to this program. So mm-hmm. I don't see them as separate. They're very much intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
And as we continue to grow, we've learned how to tell that story, no pun intended. We've learned how to tell that story better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people do see that the storytelling program is an embodiment of what we do as theater artists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember a time when somebody came to you, maybe they did an intro or class or was just lightly talking to you about creating a story, developing a story with you, and having reservations, thinking,
yeah.
well, I wouldn't know what to say. I don't have any stories to tell.
Yeah.
But having a desire to find one and,
yeah.
and to shape it and to tell it
yeah.
and then seeing that person go through the process and all of a sudden sort of find their way
yep.
and feel
yeah.
very confident
yeah.
in their storytelling.
Yeah. I mean, it actually happens a lot. I mean, we get approached by people who have a story.
Yeah.
And it's a great story. But often, you know, we do these free community workshops and people come because they're curious
yeah.
and they don't know. They don't think they have a story. You know, they feel like it might be too boring. Or the other thing that's really interesting is people come with a story idea,
yeah.
and then the story idea they thought they have is actually not the story at all. So the idea they have transforms into something completely
yeah.
different that's connected to a bigger story.
Yeah, there's yeah. so much surprise and discovery.
Yeah.
Just I said at the top of the hour. So if you're just joining us, my name is Simone Stevens. I'm with Paul Ricciardi, director of Ankrum Center for the Arts, and he has a program, Real Stories.
Yeah.
And I'm getting to take part
yeah.
This summer on June 28th, and it's been such an interesting experience
yeah.
going through the shaping of the story. It
yeah.
wasn't exactly what I thought it was going
yeah.
to be.
Yeah.
And through it all, I sort of learned little things about myself that I didn't realize.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that it? It's like, that's what we do when we go to the theater. And so why would we as creators be any different?
Yeah.
Like as an audience member, it's like, oh, I actually, you know, have these feelings that are kind of creepy or whatever. And then, but as an artist, the same thing happens. Or as a storyteller, it's like, oh, I didn't realize that I had this story in me, but I guess that I do.
Yeah.
You know? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's also interesting just the way we take in information so much now, especially on social media.
Yes.
Storytelling on social media doesn't really follow a typical story structure, right? Beginning, middle, end. It's sort of just half a middle. I mean, you know, they're just these isolated moments with no arc or no beginning or end. And part of me doing this was so I can make sure I am able and capable of of following through on a story from beginning to end and not thinking the way I experience social media.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, telling a 14-minute story is actually a long time. You know, that's like in my mind, as I'm curating and directing these stories, I think that, you know, story on the short end, 7 minutes, never any longer than 14. That's long. You know, it's you know, because of social media, an audience member, like, there's no scenery. It's just you, the storyteller, on a stage in front of a microphone. It takes work to listen.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it. It's like, you know, this, like, your story could be epic. I mean, your story is epic. Our storytellers, it's, you know, but we have to package isn't the right word, but structure it in a way that our audience can stay with us.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work to really listen.
Yeah. You know? And it takes a lot of work to cohesively share an idea or experience.
Yeah.
Both are very worth it.
Yeah.
I've been on both ends.
Yeah.
I will say it's very worth it.
And the June 28th event for Real People, Real Stories is special because we do it outside at the Rojan Park, which is on Route 22 in Copaic. So it's just south of the intersection in Hillsdale. And it's a beautiful location. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful park with rolling hills. We're in this sort of lean-to barn. It's very special.
Oh, wow.
You can see photos on our website at AncrumCenter.org.
Yes, for all information about this season, all the show, the wonderful shows that are happening. We've talked a little bit about a couple of them. I'm going to ask about some more.
Yeah.
You can go to AncrumCenter.org and get all of that information. So I have another show I wanted to ask you because I know nothing about it. Where the Mountain Meets the Sea. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Beautiful play written by Jeff Augustin with music by the Bengtsons. And, you know, it's like everything comes full circle and is connected. So I'm sure many people in your audience know the Bengtsons. Amazing, amazing duo. They're life partners and a family and a couple. And they they did a concert at the Ankrum Center back 3 years ago, I think. And that same year, this play that they worked on, Where the Mountain Meets the Sea, premiered, I think, at the in New York City. And it had been on our mind, and we'd wanted to do it, and this felt like the season to do it. It's a storytelling with music, and we wanted to get the Bengtsons to play, but they weren't available. So we've got these wonderful local musicians and these amazing actors. It's a father-son story that sort of goes backward and forward in time. The father is a Haitian immigrant making a journey across the country and his sort of ruminating on his son who's just been born. And then we jump forward, and then there's the character of the son who's making the same journey in reverse across the country, ruminating about his relationship with his father. So it's this father and beautiful father and son story.
Generational.
Yep. So it's jumping time and space. And it's being directed by this really great director who we've come to know and love, Christopher Windham. Mm-hmm. So we're really fortunate to have Christopher directing these really talented actors. Mm-hmm. And that opens at the end of the month. And there's information on that at our website, too. So, and that's our first play of the season. I mean, the storytelling event, Real People, Real Stories, we tend to kick off our season with that. And that's June 28th, and then our first play of our three-play season is a little bit later in July. I have to look at my cheat sheet because I don't remember dates, but luckily I have this. So that opens July 11th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, we're really excited.
And you also have, you mentioned Framed and Blue Cowboy as well. Those are the play loves. So we talked a little bit about those.
Yeah.
And those sound also so exciting. Is it hard to decide who to say yes to? I mean, how do you deal with submissions?
Yes. I mean, it's different. It's first of all, we made a decision several years ago that we would always dedicate at least one slot in the Play Lab to a local artist.
Okay.
So that's really important. We are bringing artists to the Ankrum Center from New York, from around the country, sometimes the world. But there are so many fantastic local artists here, designers, scenic designers, sound designers, all of it. So we, as much as we can, we're also, committed to booking local talent.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to make sure that there was a dedicated slot for the Play Lab. So this year it's Mary Murfitt.
Mm-hmm.
In years past, we've had other great local performers. And that, we've done a call in the past several times. We had been in conversations with Mary, and she'd submitted this years ago, but just because of her schedule and all of that, we sort of decided to pinpoint this year for that. So we didn't put out a call because she had submitted in a previous year.
Right.
So, and sometimes we're curating it. There are artists we work with that we want to continue nurturing. So David Kale, we've worked with him for a long time, and we really want to see this project, Blue Cowboy, move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we invited him to come up. So, but we do calls, and if people are on our email list, that's the best way to find out if you're, a theater artist and you want to apply for a residency. You can learn more about that on our website for sure.
Yeah. And especially with the new space.
Well, that's it. So we're hoping to expand the residency.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, definitely.
Oh my
definitely.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So much exciting things happening this
season. I know. With us and with just across Columbia County, across in Greene County, so much going on.
It's incredible. Sometimes I feel like, yay, it's summer. Oh, it's summer. Because I want to do everything.
Yeah.
I don't know if
you
struggle with this. I want to do everything.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss a thing.
I know. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I just got the Spark of Hudson's, e-blast. Everything they're doing is incredible.
Pretty, I took an acting class there, which I mentioned to you, with Sam Malone, and it was really fun.
Yeah. I mean, things just keep growing up here, which is really great. I mean, there's been, wonderful things going. The Hudson Library has just been doing great things for so, so long, and just these new things keep popping up. It's really cool.
Yeah. I'm trying not to get overwhelmed, and I'm just being very strategic.
Yeah, you have to.
I will be going to the Ankrum Center a lot this season.
Yeah. Yeah, please come.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So I also was wondering, just looking at your website, there are some opportunities for volunteering
as well.
So can you talk, what does that look like?
Yeah,
for the Ankrum
Center? It's like we, as nonprofits, WGXC is the same. I mean, where we rely on volunteers.
Yeah.
Our board of directors is volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
We have, a volunteer staff. So we are upping our game in the land of volunteerism this year. And, we're coming up with a sort of a volunteer, fringe benefits plan because people volunteer for different reasons. And so every volunteer, gets tickets, free tickets to a show of their choosing.
Yeah.
Every volunteer is the first to know, sometimes, if a subscriber, has to cancel their tickets, they donate them. And so we pass those on to our volunteers first.
Yeah.
So we have a sort of a benefits package for volunteers.
All information
is on our website.
Is on ankrumcenter.org for all of
those. Ushering is the key one. So being a person to, greet folks as they sit down. We really, as it is with all of the arts, making sure that the patrons are cared for and feel comfortable. I mean, if we're not doing that, then we're failing. So ushering and then, you know, production, sort of working behind the scenes, building sets. Mm-hmm. Once this, our construction project is finished at the residency center, we're going to have a big, big, big painting party. So if that's your bag,
yes,
you know,
I,
so there's all sorts of stuff.
I definitely will be.
Yep.
I'm just so excited. And once again, we are here. We're kicking off the Ripples Make Waves Pledge Drive. As we all know, independent media is going through a rough patch,
yeah.
A real, real rough patch. Yep. It's being chiseled away at, attacked, and we don't need to stand by.
Yep.
Let's keep independent media alive and well.
Yes, and right. I am committing now to donating, so I'm just putting that out there, and I hope other people join me in doing the same.
I as well, and to do that, I'm just going to go to wgxc.org/donate.
Yep.
And easy peasy.
Yep.
And kick off this summer feeling like, wow, you know, I feel really good about the trajectory of my life because I donated to WGXC.
Well, it's a way to make a difference. You know, it's like, you know, it's we're working in showbiz. You know, not all of us make a lot of money. But, you know, everything counts. Donating $25 goes a long way. And,
it really
and
does.
Also, I'll say, like, running a nonprofit, you know, mm-hmm. the Ankrum Center is a nonprofit. You know, the folks who are donating at that level, mm-hmm. it's like an endorsement. It's like, oh my gosh, that mm-hmm. person believes so much in us that they're supporting us in this way. And so everything counts.
Yeah.
And WGXC is just so important. And it's a great way to make change, you know, for those of us that are anxious about what's happening, you know, in our culture right now.
Oh yeah.
Donating, you know, $25 or, you know, if you get $1,000 or $5,000, you know, mm-hmm. it makes a difference in preserving independent radio, which we need.
And especially in these times too, I think supporting local artists, it's not just about buying a concert ticket or buying a ticket to a play. It's really, I find it, and I'll just speak for myself, it's therapeutic.
Yeah. Yeah.
The act of, because I have choices, right? I can look around and hear really harsh realities that are going on and just want to hide under a blanket. I mean, I was talking to my dad yesterday and he, you know, started talking about certain things that are happening in our culture and he got teary eyed and he started crying and I just felt, oh, whoa. You know, it's he's just so upset to all the point of paralysis, I think. And so for me, the only way I know how to beat that back, that paralysis, is to take part in my community.
Yeah.
And go see all of the wonderful things that humans are capable of.
That's it. I mean, if you go to the Wave Farm website and look at all of the programming, it's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at other, you know, independent radio stations or nonprofit radio stations, it's incredible. Just the other day, I was listening to an independent radio station and there was an interview with Sarah McBride, the new congresswoman from Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just extraordinary. And I mean, that's the kind of stuff you get when you're listening to stations like WGXC.
Yeah, these very raw audio moments.
Yeah.
There's nothing
or
like
truthful.
It.
Yeah. Truthful. Yeah.
Yeah. But also on stage it's happening too.
It is.
Yeah.
It
and
is.
So do you have a one person show happening? What was your favorite one solo? Do you like solo theater?
I do.
We've talked about
I do.
Solo
I have myself performed as a solo performer. Multiple times, and I actually have a workshop taking storytelling and turning stories into solo performance. Not all solo performance is autobiographical, but some is, and it's a tricky thing to, you know, get a performer, creator to turn an autobiographical story into something that they're giving away to the audience.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay, I'm telling a story about this car crash that I was in, but it's no longer about me because I'm giving it away.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky thing to sort of, you know, Yeah. People don't want to see an actor wallowing on stage or having, you know, psychodrama. That's not interesting. But storytelling, right, where we are reaching out to the audience, mm-hmm, is really compelling. So David Kale, mm-hmm, who's coming this summer to develop his piece Blue Cowboy, is just extraordinary. Dale Orlander Smith. David and Dale actually were with us developing a piece called You Don't Know the Lonely One back in 2023.
Loved that.
Dale is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is just, talk about real. You know, it's just, I mean, that's what we do as actors. We're revealing different parts of ourselves. And
phenomenal.
Dale is like, you know, one minute she's a 17-year-old graffiti artist, and then she's, you know, sort of an elderly bus driver.
Oh, it's, switching her character work was,
yep,
incredible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, though you were asking about solo performers, I really admire the two of them. Mm-hmm. We've had Marty Moran with his great, very intense show, The Tricky Part, which is an autobiographical story, quite a number of years ago now. The Holler Sessions with Frank Boyd, that was, mm-hmm, produced in part with the team. So, I mean, solo performance works really well in our space because it's so small and intimate. Mm-hmm. But we also like it when actors talk to each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, you'll see, you can see solo shows at the Ankrum Center, yeah, but you'll see, you know, dialogue too, you
but
know.
Also, even you know, a show that is autobiographical with two actors, right?
Yeah,
two,
yep,
words.
Yep.
So somebody has written a autobiographical, yeah, piece,
yeah,
but they've turned it into a play with multiple,
yeah,
actors.
I mean, that's what You Don't Know the Lonely One was. It was Dale Orlander Smith and David Kale in conversation with each other, and then they would go off and become these characters, and then they'd come back in, and then Matthew Dean Marsh was sort of his own character, but he was at the piano with music. So it's yeah, I mean, there are ways for these solo monologues to sort of intertwine, mm-hmm, into dialogue as well.
And I think, you know, it's so interesting too, because when I think about different mediums, yeah, of storytelling, like you think about television and film.
Yeah.
And there's almost, sometimes when I watch television, I certainly don't recognize my,
yeah,
self very,
yeah,
often, being,
yeah,
you know, sort of not having certain traditional boxes checked,
yeah,
like married or with children,
yeah,
or,
yeah,
and so I'm used to sort of seeing a lot of television and film that I don't really,
yeah, you don't feel reflected
with. I don't feel reflected, and I think in some ways TV and film, they take so long to catch up to what's really happening,
yeah,
in real life, because I'm,
yeah,
not alone in being unmarried and not having children. I know,
yeah,
a lot of,
yeah,
I actually know quite a few people who have not taken the more traditional path.
Yes.
But I don't see them reflected either in,
yeah,
film. But I feel like there's something about stage work that feels more immediate, even though it could take years to develop a,
yeah,
a piece for the stage. But there's something about the immediacy.
That's it.
And the it doesn't need to please shareholders or studios. The,
yeah,
narrative does not defeat,
yeah,
fit into a tidy box that will appeal to the masses. The narrative is just the true narrative of,
yeah,
what the artist has decided it to be.
Yeah, yeah. I so agree with everything you're saying. It's like, you know, I love TV. You know, it's theater. That you use the word immediacy,
mm-hmm,
and I mean, and I've watched plenty of TV shows where there's this that where I can be shocked, but, mm-hmm, something that I think is unique to theater is the element of true surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something at the Ankrum Center we really love and embody and cherish, and it's part of our mission. We want,
mm-hmm,
there to be an element of surprise. And so when people come to a show for the first time at Ankrum, often people will say this when they leave, and it's just brings so much joy to us,
mm-hmm,
who are running the center. People saying, I am so surprised that this, I can't believe this is here.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ankrum Center is basically in, you know, is in a very rural part of Columbia County.
Yeah.
And here we are in the middle of, you know, farming land,
yeah,
putting on a show, you know, with David Kale or Taylor Mack or, you know, Dale Orlander Smith.
Yeah.
So it's that element of surprise that we really want to celebrate. You know, people can connect with one another. They're sitting next to each other. They're being talked to directly by,
mm-hmm,
the performer on the stage.
Yeah.
And there's this element of surprise, whether it's the text,
yeah,
the performer's just, you know, radiance, our intimate theater itself,
yeah,
or like, oh, wow, I'm sitting in a theater watching this performer in, you know, in this area that's farming country.
Yeah, and there's also that chance that someone will mess up, and I find that really thrilling too.
Yeah,
because everything is so curated in other mediums.
Yeah,
right. You can reshoot it. You can edit it.
Yes,
and
yes.
That can't happen with live theater.
It's thrilling, and it has happened. So back in the early days at the Ankrum Center, when we were using borrowed equipment from the great former theater company in Hudson called Stageworks Hudson. They had went on hiatus and have since stopped programming. But they loaned us their equipment. And it was great equipment. It was old.
Uh-huh.
We had a brownout one night during a show. Uh-huh. And so the great Danielle Skrasdad, a really wonderful actor, was in a production of Tony Kushner's Homebody. The lights went out. But she kept acting. And then finally the stage manager held the show. And so Danielle just stepped out of character and she was like, I felt like something happened. And so she just started chatting with the audience, you know, asking what people were up to. And then, you know, the power came back on and she just jumped back in and did it. And it was so thrilling.
Wow.
I mean, I think that's also why we do live theater.
Yeah.
You know?
Because there's a chance we might mess up and face it together.
Yeah. 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 We'll face it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's happened on more than one occasion.
Wow.
Yeah. We have new equipment now. But
do you remember, and this is such a corny question, so please forgive, I'm going very traditional,
I love
old
corny.
School here.
Go.
Do you remember the moment you fell in love with being on stage or just the act of being a part of a production?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then I'm going to ask the same question of
you.
Boy, why not,
oh
right?
Boy.
I mean, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I'm an actor. And when I was 12 years old, my church, I grew up in North Chelmsford, Massachusetts. My father was the town barber. And my church, St. John's Church, was doing a production of Godspell.
Ah.
And whoever was playing Jesus, I don't know what happened. I guess, I don't know. But at the last second, I was asked to play Jesus in Godspell. And I was hooked. I was hooked.
Well, I mean, your first role
I was 12.
Jesus? You can't be more of a rock star than
I
that.
I know. It was just the community. You know, it was, I mean, it wasn't not even the being on stage part.
Yeah.
Even still, I mean, it's the community. And then, you know, as a queer kid, you know, it's like all of a sudden you find your people.
Yeah.
You know, I ended up finding my people, my community, my safe haven. Oh my gosh, it saved my life.
Wow.
So that was the moment for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you're a performer too, singer, performer.
Yeah. I mean, I had a story, you know, I was 6 years old. I had an agent. We lived in LA. And you know this.
Yeah.
And I had a commercial agent. So I was doing commercials as a kid.
Wow.
I have a picture of me as in a Barbie commercial with my hair teased. It's like 3 feet high and parachute pants.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Yes.
And I'm like 7.
I had those.
Yeah. Now that I deal in audio, I'm always, I think, oh, parachute pants. That is the worst possible thing around any microphone. But I'm sort of, depending on my mom to tell me when the first moment I thought I wanted to be a performer was, because she tells me, I said, I want to be an actress. I was like 5.
Yeah.
So something must have happened when I was, you know, 5 years old that made me, you know, want to do that. So, but I mean, I've mostly done voice acting and music.
Yeah.
I'm not really, I don't consider myself a actor the way you are.
I could listen to your voice for days.
Oh, that is so sweet. But I love being a part of it.
Yeah, me
and
too.
And I love watching it.
Yeah.
I love people watching people make choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then make new choices.
Yeah.
And shift direction. I just find it so exciting. That's
why
I would go to this little black box theater in LA, and they would have these Monday nights, and they would have this group of actors come in, and they would just improv until they found like a somewhat of a structure of a show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then each week you would go back on them each Monday.
Yeah.
And to see them further it further and further. And then you would do that again until finally they had, it would still be improv, the final show. But they just knew where they were more. They knew what it was more. The framework was more sturdy.
Yep.
And that was one of the most exciting things for me was to
watch. Yeah, the process.
Yes,
watch that. I mean, that is no joke, improvisation.
I mean, that's my problem is I'm all about process. And then when it comes to actually pitching myself or a project or a record, that's the tough territory.
Yeah, well, I think that's it's so hard for all of us, you know. But I agree with you. The process, I mean, I teach actors and coach actors, and I just love being part of that process.
Well, you're an advocate.
Yeah, yeah. And sharing, you know, we learn when we're teaching, right? So when we're coaching people, I always learn. I become a better performer.
Yeah.
Through being a teacher.
Yeah.
I definitely do.
I agree. Yeah. What teaching voice acting, a lot. I've learned probably more.
Yeah.
And I feel like I shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah.
I'm learning more from my students.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yep.
This has been such an exciting start of the Pledge Drive.
Oh, that's so exciting to be part of it.
Yeah, WGXC Acre 90.7 Radio for Open Ears if you're just joining us. This is Simone Stevens. I'm here with Paul Ricciardi, Director of Income Center for the Arts.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Yeah, and we're talking about the exciting season that is coming.
Yeah.
Plein air plays, all site-specific if you missed it and you're just joining us.
Yep.
For all information of the exciting season coming ahead, please, you can get that at ancramcenter.org.
Yeah.
All the information your heart desires.
Yeah.
And to take part of this pledge drive, independent media, we've said it a couple times, and I'm happy to say it again. It's going through a real rough patch. It's under attack.
It is.
And luckily, as community members, we don't need to just let it happen without us putting up a fight. So we're part of this pledge drive, and you can be too.
Yeah.
Just going to wgxc.org/donate. And donating today.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. One more story of your first performance or an early performance.
Yes. I mean, I'll tell you that. And then I want to make sure that we tell people about Penelope, the final show of the season, because that's going to be
a barn burner. 3 minutes.
Okay. So I'm going to do that first and I'll tell you. So the final play, we're doing three shows this year, is Penelope, created by Alex Bechtel, the great composer and lyricist. Eva Steinmetz is the director, and then Grace McLean is one of the co-creators and performers. Some of you might know her. She was in Suffs on Broadway. She is such an extraordinary performer. You can find her on YouTube and see. She will be with us this fall performing Penelope, based on the Penelope stories from an Iliad. And she's just extraordinary. And it's the first time she's performed a play she created. She's been so busy. So that's going to be in the fall. It can't be missed.
Wow.
And my second play, I played Dr. Emmett in The Curious Savage in the eighth grade. So that was my second play.
Wow.
And then I was off and running.
Then you were off and
running. Then Horace Van de Gelder in Hello, Dolly.
I did get to play King Arthur.
You did?
Yes, as an eighth grader.
Yeah, I can see that.
I had a full bowl cut.
Yeah, I can see you rocking it. Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, King Arthur probably did not have a tail.
But yours did.
But in 1980-something, I sure did.
Yeah, yeah.
I sure did.
I bet you that was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was also one show. I don't know why we did it. Sweet Charity in high school. Does that sound right? Sweet Charity. It's a little risque.
I don't know it. I'm not a musical theater.
Well, there's like, night workers.
That seems very appropriate for
Jeff. It was, right? I was a freshman, and I was supposed to wear, I had this dress. And for some reason, and we were doing all these really extreme dance moves, these abstract, raising your arms high above your head. And I put on somebody else's dress right before we got out there. And I raised up the dress went all the way.
Oh, so you were really...
I was really playing the part.
Yeah.
And, unintended. But all of the rest of the dance moves, I kept my arms close to my body.
No.
Yeah, I looked like I was a robot.
You were doing the robot.
I sort of looked like I was doing the robot.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So that was a little crazy. Yeah. Well, that wraps it up for our hour. We're close to the end here on WGXC Acre 90.7 Radio for Open Ears. Happy Pledge Drive.
Yes.
And thank you so much for joining me, Paul.
Well, thank you for having me, Simone. It's been so much fun.
Oh, my gosh, so much fun. And we hope that you go out there and enjoy this beautiful first day of summer. It's hot, so
yeah.
I can't tell you what to do, but I will suggest to stay hydrated.
Yeah, and donate.
And donate. It's easy. It's easy. WGXC.org/donate. Thank you so much, everybody, and stay tuned.